Good morning, church family. So good to see each one of you. Most Friday nights, you'll find my family and I are doing a family movie night. Kids get to stay up later, we pop some popcorn, and we turn on a movie. And it's been fun for me to revisit some of my favorite Disney movies from when I was a kid. And I've kind of kept like a rank of my favorite Disney movies of all time. And for years, I've had a clear number one and number two. Okay, clear number one, if you grew up in the 90s, Aladdin. That has been my favorite Disney movie of all time. And a close second, The Lion King. Those have been my top two for years and years and years. But then the thought occurred to me, oh no, what if I'm just holding on to this top two because of pure nostalgia? Am I right? Amen. Thank you, Rick. Perfect timing. Sometimes we do that, right? We like things because of the time that we watched it or enjoyed it. And I said, really, am I being objective? And I had to ask myself, I need to reevaluate. And so I began to reevaluate my favorite movies. And I have a hot take for you this morning. I have a new number one Disney movie. Are you ready for it? No. Disney's Encanto. As I thought about it, the songs, the story, it is an amazing film. Lin-Manuel Miranda, oh my goodness. I cry every time I watch this movie, especially at the end. It's so good. So it's now number one in my personal list. If you haven't seen it, the story involves a teenage girl named Mirabelle who lives in the amazing family Madrigal. And when each member of the family turns five, they each receive a special gift. That they can then use to serve the community. Mirabelle's mom can heal you with an arepa. And when our Colombian friends live with us, I testify that arepas can heal. They do have healing powers. Mirabelle's aunt can control the weather with her emotions. Her cousin Camilo can shapeshift. Her sister Luisa is super strong. And her other sister Isabella can make beautiful flowers. And her uncle Bruno has the gift of prophecy and telling the future. But we don't talk about Bruno. Thank you. Mirabelle inexplicitly doesn't get a gift. Now, these gifts were given so that they could serve the surrounding community, but actually they've caused a lot of family tension. Bruno's gift of prophecy has made him an outcast in the family. No surprise, we tend not to like the prophets, right? So he's an outcast in the family. Luisa's gift of strength has become a crushing load she can no longer bear because people don't see her as human. With weaknesses herself. Everyone in the family is trying to stand out and be seen, and Mirabelle's apparent lack of gift has also caused tension between her and the family. Maybe she doesn't really belong. And I think this film is a good picture of how many of us experience the spiritual gifts. What was given to benefit others has turned into something that causes tension even in the body of Christ. Some of you, maybe you feel like Mirabelle, maybe you feel like you haven't received something you were supposed to get, or maybe perhaps you were unaware of it, or maybe you haven't been taught much about them. Other gifts have been ostracized and forced to leave the family or go into hiding because people didn't accept it or understand it. Unfortunately, this has often happened with the more charismatic gifts, so to speak, the gifts of prophecy or healing or tongues or things like that. Other people feel minimized because of the gift they've received. Maybe they feel less important. Other people feel too important and don't honor the gifts of others. But friends, spiritual gifts should be a catalyst for uncommon unity. But unfortunately, as in Paul's day, the enemy can twist something that's good and use it for evil. Something that leads to disunity and fractures and cracks. So how can we reclaim spiritual gifts in such a way that they lead to uncommon unity among us? We're going to do three things. We don't compare, we celebrate. We don't look down, we look out. We don't shine, we serve. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to back up to verse 7. Paul says, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. God designed us to have these for the common good, the building up of the church in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of Jesus. And then verse 8 through 11, Paul lists some spiritual gifts that are given through the Holy Spirit. A message of wisdom, a message of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. In verse 11, he says, all these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Now, if you look at other passages of Scripture, we can find that there are many other spiritual gifts Paul mentions. He mentioned serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, showing mercy, helping, guidance. These are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. And even the skilled workers on the tabernacle in the Old Testament were described as being gifted by the Holy Spirit for their work. And so there's all kinds of gifts that we see in Scripture. And before we jump into my main points, let me just give you a few kind of spiritual gifts basics. First of all, they are gifts. We don't earn them, and we don't own them. They are given to us by God. And they're given to us by the Holy Spirit. That means this is power beyond our own, energy beyond our own, strength beyond our own. It's not just our natural talents, though God uses those too. Third, they are given for the common good of the church. They are not for ourselves. They're not for our own spiritual experience or spiritual ecstasy or things like that. They're given to serve others. Fourth, there are many different gifts. And all the gifts I described, those lists are not exhaustive. But I do believe we should pay attention to the gifts that are mentioned in Scripture. Also, we need to know that everyone is given something, but no one is given everything. And finally, God alone determines the gifts we have. He distributes to each one just as he determines. So now that we have maybe some basics covered, how do we use these gifts? Not for disunity, but for uncommon unity. Number one, we don't compare, we celebrate. We don't compare, we celebrate. If you want to ruin a gift you've received, just go ahead and start comparing it to what other people got. If you've ever been around some young children on Christmas morning, you probably have witnessed this dynamic. I know there are occasions when I was a child that I couldn't enjoy the gift that I received because I was paying attention to what my other brothers got. Oh man, look what they got. And the whole time I had this amazing gift. By the way, a gift that I asked for. But I couldn't enjoy it because I was comparing it to what my brothers got. We rob our own joy when we compare to others. Paul wrote to the church, jumping down to verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. See, when we compare ourselves to others, it can lead to this feeling like we are inferior to them, which over time can make us think that perhaps I don't really belong to this group. I don't belong to this community. If everyone seems better or if everyone seems more important than me, then that can lead to feeling like, well, maybe I don't really belong. But differences in the body of Christ in terms of these abilities and gifts, these are not something we should be discouraged about. It's something we should celebrate. Why? Because it means we are equally important in the body of Christ. Because others are different than us, it means that we have an important role to play in the body. That's what Paul's getting at in verse 17. He says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. See, Paul is saying those people that you compare yourself to, if everyone in the church were just like them, and no one was like you, this body would be a mess. This body would be a disaster. It would look more like a monster than a body. We cannot be the body without you. We need every part. God has placed the parts in the body just as he wanted them to be. And God has gifted and called you to a place in his body for the flourishing of the whole church and your own flourishing as well. We cannot be the body of Christ without each one of you. The scholar Leon Morris says, diversity is no accidental attribute of the body. It is of its very essence. A body has many parts. That's what it is. The diversity of the gifts is part of what it means to be the body of Christ. So when you notice that you are gifted differently than those around you, don't compare and despair. Celebrate. Celebrate that God has given them and you an equally important place in the body. But it's really hard to do that when you feel inferior, when you feel like you're not as good as someone else. And I think this is hard because we don't want to admit that we are weak. We don't want to admit that we don't have it all together. And you know, it's really hard for me to admit this to you publicly. Part of me hopes that you haven't noticed this, but I am not good at everything. Oh, man, I'm not good at everything. You know, I'm sure you've noticed it. And I don't want to be perceived by you as weak. I mean, who does? Who wants to be perceived as weak? And sometimes I've lamented, why did I think of that? How did I not see that issue of the situation? How come I can't lead like them or encourage like them or evangelize like them? I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to have it all together. It's hard not having all the gifts because it means there are many things you aren't good at. There are a lot of things you aren't good at, or at least there are a lot of others who are more skilled and gifted than you are in that area. Our ego and our pride can get in the way of celebrating. So we have to break out of this comparison trap, and our first step is humility. Humility. Without humility, we cannot celebrate the giftedness of those around us. So my goal is I want to become more like Paul, where he says in 2 Corinthians, I boast about my weaknesses. I boast about my weaknesses so Christ's power can rest on me. And I boast about them so I can celebrate the giftedness of others. I thank God for each one of you. I thank God for a pastoral staff team who are gifted differently than me, a leadership council with different gifts than me, a whole church with different gifts than me. We need every gift in the body of Christ to be the body. Isn't that amazing? You're supposed to say amen right there. I always waited for that. It is amazing that God has done this for us. It means that we have to be interdependent upon one another. And I also thank God that it's uncanny sometimes that he provides the right people at the right time for what the church needs at that time. Those of you who've been here a long time, you can testify, am I right, Rita? That God always provides the right person at the right time for what the church needs. And so we're not going to compare. We're going to celebrate the different gifts among us in the body of Christ. Secondly, we don't look down, we look out. We don't look down on others, we look out for others. Verse 21, Paul says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Now, the eye and the head, they might be considered more visible, more prominent in terms of their height on the body. They're more noticeable, more visibly prominent. And so those with more visibly prominent gifts, not that they are more prominent, but those with more visibly prominent gifts are at risk of this spiritual pride. Now, in the first point, we compared our gifts to others and we despaired that we're not as good maybe as someone else. But in this case, we're comparing and having pride. One danger is that we can feel inferior. The other danger is that we can feel superior. We want to avoid both of these tendencies. We want to avoid the first extreme of not viewing ourselves as all that important. Maybe we don't really matter. Maybe we don't really belong. We want to avoid that. That's not true. We also want to avoid the other extreme of, well, man, I don't really need other people. I don't need other people in my walk with Christ. I'm good on my own. We must avoid both of these extremes. We can never say to another believer, I don't need you. That's like the head saying to the hands, I don't need you. How preposterous. How preposterous is that? Gosh, you know, I had an ache in my tooth the other day. And I needed my feet to take me to the dentist. I needed my hands to drive the car. I mean, my tooth was the problem, but I needed the whole body to get me there and get the help I needed. No part can save the other parts. I don't need you.
Amen.
Amen. We might think we are immune to this feeling, but sometimes I think it can be easy for us to get upset or maybe annoyed, perturbed, when other people are gifted differently than we are. Perhaps you realize something could have gone better. Maybe you see a situation and you perfectly see that person, they could have done that differently. How could they have missed that? If you were in charge, there was no way that would have happened. Maybe you felt that at church. Maybe you felt that in your family. Maybe you felt that at work. Well, if I was in charge, there's no way it would have gone that way. Friends, might I suggest to you, if you ever feel that, it's probably a sign that you shouldn't be getting upset. It's probably a sign you should be getting involved, as long as you can do it humbly. Because you're seeing something others are not. You have a gift. You're gifted in different ways. You have a perspective that others do not share. And so others may have need of that or benefit from that. And it sounds like you have something that would be useful to contribute. And my assumption is that every one of us, we're all doing the best we can. But we need the giftedness of others to accomplish the work of ministry. It's often the less visibly prominent gifts that get looked down upon or just aren't as appreciated or seen than others. So Paul says in verse 22, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. The parts we think are less honorable we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Now, back to the movie Encanto. Mirabel does not receive a supernatural gift like the rest of her family. But it's my personal theory that this is the exact kind of gift her family needed. Because she becomes the one who brings the family back together. She becomes the glue that unites all of these really charismatic gifts into a collective unit once again. Friends, it's often the least visible people who are the ones holding the body of Christ together. It's often the people who get no notoriety, no visibility, that are the ones who are glued to the church. And there are so many people in this church who I could name. Many of you probably are thinking of names in your head right now. You know who they are. They are glue. They are servants. They are behind the scenes most of the time. But I shudder to think where we would be without these dear friends in the body of Christ. So you know who you are. Thank you. It's this recognition of our interdependence that leads us not to look down on others, but to look out for them. We must look out for each person because we recognize we need them in our lives. We need them in this body. They are indispensable to being who we are. My life is now bound together with theirs. My well-being is now bound together with theirs. So I must look out for them. That's why Paul says if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So instead of looking down on others, we look out for them. We care for them as members of our own body. We celebrate them. We grieve with them. We pray with them. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. And then finally, we don't shine, we serve. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Then Paul goes on to ask a bunch of rhetorical questions. You know, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? The expected answer is no. No one is all these things. Not everyone can do everything, but everyone is called to do something. You have a part to play. That's what the spiritual gifts are all about. They're not for our own enjoyment, experience, or benefit. They're not God's gift to you, per se. They are God's gift through you to the whole church. Let me say that again. They're not God's gifts to you. They're God's gifts through you to the whole church. At the end of Encanto, as the family is coming back together, the part that makes me cry. Look at this family, a glowing constellation, so full of stars, everybody wants to shine. This is my favorite line. But the stars don't shine, they burn. They burn. Stars aren't just there to be shiny. They provide light and heat. They serve us. They burn. She is saying everyone in this family, they've been wanting to stand out. They've been wanting to be noticed, to be seen for who they uniquely are. But she's saying, no, that's not the point. These gifts were given so that we cannot shine, but to burn, to serve the family, bring wholeness and healing and reconciliation. So don't use your gifts to shine. Use them to serve. So we don't compare, we celebrate, we don't look down, we look out, we don't shine, we serve. How do we do this? How do we live as the body of Christ according to our gifting? I'm aware that maybe many of you, you haven't really been taught all that much about spiritual gifts. Maybe many of you haven't thought about them for a long time. Many of you have heard me lament on various occasions that today we know more about our personality types and our Enneagrams than we do our spiritual gifts. I think that's a problem. And if we're going to thrive as the body of Christ, we need to recover the spiritual gifts as a framework for thinking about how we work together as the body of Christ today. And we're going to have some upcoming opportunities through a shape test and a class in Faith Academy, which I hope you'll participate in. And while it's really helpful, I think, to discern your gifting, discern the part God is calling you to play, I also don't want you to miss the main thing. It's not about what gift do I have? It's not about what gift do I have. It's about how is God calling me to serve the church, the body of Christ. Knowing your gift is important, but I think it's also true. I don't think Jesus asked if his gifting was really to wash his disciples' feet or not. I'm just going to throw that out there on a limb. I don't think when Jesus was about to wash his disciples' feet, I don't think he really asked himself, is this really my gift? Is this really what I'm gifted to do? No, I don't think he asked that at all. I think he just wanted to serve his disciples, the body of Christ. So the main question is, how is God calling me to serve? And sometimes we get to primarily use our gifting, and sometimes we just need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. I have personally found that when the call is there, when I sense I'm being called to step in, called to serve, that the gift will be there. When I'm being called, the gift will be there. When I'm being called, the strength will be there. When I'm being called, the energy will be there. There are times when I've committed to do something, and in my flesh, I'm like, I don't have the strength to do this. Why did I sign up for this? But then when I go, I just testify there is a strength beyond my own. There is an energy beyond my own because I'm not serving just with myself. Christ is with me. And in those moments where I don't feel like I have enough, or I don't have enough time or enough energy, I feel like. It's that when, in my weakness, that's when Christ's power is strong in me. And I testify, he does provide. And we truly believe that this is a church where every one of us is a minister, where we all have a ministry in the church. And many of you, you serve so faithfully. And so I just want to say thank you. Thank you for playing your part in the body of Christ. We need you. We could not function and be who we are called to be without each and every one of us. And I want you to think about the power that comes when each person in the church is living this way, is asking God, Lord, how do you want me to serve my brothers and sisters? What gifts have you given me that I can contribute? And then they joyfully offer that for the benefit of the whole body. Wouldn't that be an amazing place to be a part of? This is uncommon unity. In the world, people are asking, what can I get? What can I get out of this? But in the church, we want to be asking, what can I give? What can I give to those around me? And the unity, the joy, the beauty, the love that comes out of that is a special blessing this side of heaven. And so my prayer is that God would empower each of us to play our part in the body of Christ. Would you pray with me?